Welcome to this edition of CGNet Nonprofit Tech Talk. Today, our guest is Ken Novak, CGNet's Senior Technical Advisor. We recently interviewed Ken about how to estimate your Amazon Web Services hosting charges, and we'd like to continue that discussion today, covering how you can minimize those AWS hosting charges. Welcome, Ken.
Hi, Sam.
In our previous interview, you said that most of the hosting charges are for the virtual machine itself. So is that where you look to save money?
Yep, that's basically it. Sometimes on some applications, storage is important. Let's say if you've got more than a few hundred gigabytes of storage, or especially if you're in the terabytes of storage. But that's not most applications that we see. Most of the time we see things that are in those low hundreds of gigabytes where the storage doesn't amount to that much from one month to the next. So it's really the virtual machines that cost the most.
Do you have any idea sort of what the rate for storage is? I mean, is it order of magnitude?
Sure. The most common storage charges on Amazon are from about 7 cents to 10 cents per gigabyte per month, which means that for 100 gigs, it's, let's say, $10 a month.
Right. So not huge.
It is not huge. Doing a lot of work to try to economize on that is not so great. If you've got 10 terabytes and you're now up to $1,000 a month, well, that's a different ball game. And there are lots of things you can do to try to cut those charges. That might be worth a separate call sometime. But I think for most people, the storage is manageable. It's the virtual machines that cost the money.
How do you save money on your virtual machine charges?
Well, it's a funny thing. They're not all one price. In some ways, occupying a chunk of RAM and a part of a machine to be a virtual machine in Amazon is kind of like occupying a seat on an airplane. The person next to you may be paying three times as much as you are. There's actually several different price lists. And it depends a lot on the conditions that you buy it under. The standard price that you see all the time is what Amazon calls on-demand pricing. When you log onto their site, say I want a machine, and as fast as it can, typically in 20 or 30 seconds, you've got that machine running. And from then on, you pay by the hour. And whenever you shut it off, you're paying nothing. And that's a typical way it's done. Well, that's kind of like walking up to the airline counter and saying, put me on the next flight. But for other folks who might be willing to say, put me on a flight when it's convenient for you, Amazon, you might get a cheaper price. Or put me on and guarantee me a seat on every flight for the next year, or I'll pay in advance. Well, you might get a discount then, too. So that's basically the way it works at Amazon, is there are these different flavors of pricing if you're willing to accept something less than just walk-up on-demand pricing.
So can you give me an example of how that might work? There'd be different prices for the same kind of service and how you could get to the cheapest one?
Sure. Yeah, I guess we could start with the one that's the absolute cheapest at Amazon. It's called spot pricing. And they name it that because it's kind of by analogy with a spot marketplace. They look at all their spare capacity and they invite people to say, it's almost like Priceline, I'm willing to go, but only if it costs me a certain amount or less.
Okay.
And they look at their spare capacity, they look at all the offers people have wanting to buy at different prices, and they pick the price at which the market will clear. And they're doing this calculation every 15 minutes or so. And so, depending on what's going on, let's say if it's a busy time of year, or if some customer has come as an on-demand customer and required a lot of capacity, well, there might not be much to sell. And as a result, it'll be a relatively high price at that time. Whereas if it's the middle of the night or on the weekend or something, the price can get very low indeed.
Okay, so let's see if I've got this clear. They've got on-demand pricing, which is a set fee that you can predict what you're going to pay. That is to say, you'll use it for a different amount of time, but there's a given rate.
Yeah.
And then there's spot pricing that depends on when you come in and when you place your order.
Right.
Now, when you place your order, does the spot price stay the same throughout your usage period?
No, it's changing minute by minute. And if the spot price ever goes above the rate that you said you were willing to pay, they'll shut your machine off. And so, you know, what this was really invented for, the classic use case was, let's say that someone was making a movie and had a lot of video to render. So they would set the computer up to generate all these video images, and they'd set it up so they could use maybe 200 machines could run, and within an hour the whole video clip would be done. So they would need a lot of capacity, you know, 200 machine hours to get this thing done. So they would go to the spot market and say, fine, give me up to 200 machines, but only at a fifth of your usual price. And they'd say, we don't care when it gets done. It can get done overnight. It can get done tomorrow. It's still better than us setting up our machines and letting them run for 200 hours.
That right.
It's going to get done a lot faster as soon as there's capacity on Amazon, and it'll be really cheap. Because we'll just wait until it's convenient for Amazon. You set up a machine on an on-demand basis and then stop it.
Oh, okay.
And then it's ready to run whenever they run. And as long as whenever it finishes, let's say a frame of the video in this example, or it finishes some unit of work, as long as it stores it in a storage system on Amazon that's outside of your machine, then it doesn't matter when it gets turned off. It'll always store as much as it got done.
So you could say, okay, I'm going to pay this price. And so when it hit that price, it would start up your machine. And if the spot market exceeded that price, it would shut off your machine. And then when the next time the spot market got down to that right place, it would automatically turn it on again?
Yep, that's the idea.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, that was the classic use for spot. And it was a way for them to get some money out of any unused capacity they had. Well, I was talking to some friends of mine a few years ago after it first came out, and they turned me on to a whole different way to use spot pricing. They're a conventional company that provides an internet service, and their developers, their programmers and testing people always need some capacity on Amazon to work with. And they got the clever idea of asking for spot instances for their developers, but setting the price to be essentially the same as the on-demand price. Meaning, in other words, they were willing to pay a relatively high price so they wouldn't get turned off. But whenever the spot price dropped, they would pay the lower price. And as a result, they would go typically months without getting turned off. That they reported something on the order of once or twice a year, that the market for instances would get so hot on Amazon that the spot price would actually be higher than the on-demand price. But that almost never happens.
So when you order the spot price, then you get the benefit if it goes down from what your price was.
Exactly.
Right. Yep. That's very clever.
Yeah. And so the thing is, if you do it that way, and you're willing to tolerate that once every few months when your machine suddenly gets turned off and you have to go manually turn it back on again, then you can save literally 70% off the on-demand price.
So why won't it just automatically get turned back on again when the price goes down?
Oh, that's right. I suppose if you did, you probably could have it automatically turned back on. You're right. I forgot about that. But in any event, though, I think because people expect to leave it on, they typically were willing to just, you know, if it's only going to happen a couple of times a year, they would do it and they would watch it. But anyway, it was an interesting trick. And for developers or for people who are doing scientific computing or for that sort of thing, the only other downside to spot pricing is that when you have to request the capacity at the spot price, and it'll be a few minutes before it's made available to you, never more than 10 or 15 minutes. But as a result, if you're really, you know, in a high intensity work mode and you just want to get the thing on as fast as possible, well, you really want on demand. If you're willing to wait 5 or 10 minutes for the spot processor to come along and start you up, then you can benefit from the lower prices.
Well, that sounds very cool. And you say the savings can be in the...
Yeah, it's typically I think the average spot price is less than a third of the on demand price. On a 24/7 basis, because I guess it's just that whatever it is, 168 hours a week between weekends and night times, if you're in a U.S. data center, there's an awful lot of spare capacity available, a lot of hours that there are machines that aren't being used very much. So most of your hours are very, very low cost.
That is very cool. Okay, so I think I understand spot pricing now, but earlier on you mentioned reserved pricing. How do you save money with that?
Well, the idea here is that you pay in advance some amount of money, and for some length of time, you get a cheaper price. It kind of reminds me of the, of an amusement park I went to once where you could get in for nothing, but then you'd pay $3 a ride. But if you bought a VIP pass, you could pay $1 per ride. That pass cost you about $20. So they expected you to spend a lot of time on the rides to earn back the pass. Well, that's kind of what Amazon does, that you aren't quite paying the full price for a virtual machine all year as your upfront price. You're paying something less than that. But then you pay something, a very low price, every hour you use it. So it's a way of paying in advance to reduce the cost. The most common pattern is someone will pay what's called heavy utilization pricing, where you pay a significant amount of money, sort of like running the machine full time for a few months, and then you'll pay a low hourly rate. And at the end of the year, you will have paid 40% less than if you had just bought an on-demand virtual machine of the identical size and the identical type. So it's a pretty significant discount. If you know you're going to run this thing, you know, around the clock all year, then it's for sure a good approach to take. You'll break even at about the eighth month or so, something like that. And you'll get essentially 40% off. So it turns out they have a few variations on that. They allow you to pay a little bit less upfront and a little more by the hour, and you can kind of work it out if you think you're not going to run a 24/7 all year. But for most applications, I guess they have a one-year pricing. They even have a three-year pricing. If you happen to be in a project that's got a fixed budget over a long period, you can pay a bit more up front. And I think then you get as much as 60% off the on-demand. But, of course, you're committing to 3 years, so that's a pretty long time.
That's pretty exciting. Are these discounts well known? It seems to me that they're not all that well publicized.
Well, no, they're pretty much on the website, but it does take wrapping your head around and making a little model and all that to figure out what the real rate would be. But yeah, I think that once people have already committed to Amazon, they certainly go shopping for how can they reduce their rates. But if you're trying to plan it and budget for it in the first place, it's worth it to spend some time with their calculators or with your own planning. I think one issue that you have to watch out for with the reserve pricing on Amazon anyway is that it's done by type of machine. And so in effect, you really are just buying a ticket for a certain kind of machine to get it at a lower price. It's not attached to a particular machine. Let's say I have five Windows machines, and they've all got 7 gigs of RAM. You know, they're the same machine. Maybe they're in a cluster group for SharePoint or something like that. And if I buy 3 reserved instances, what it really means is that I will get the cheaper hourly rate on the first 3 machines of that type that are running. And if I later, you know, if I go from having 5 machines running to having 3 machines running, well, I've still got whatever 3 machines are up, they're the ones getting the special rate. So it's an interesting system that Amazon's created to make it so that you've got quite a bit of flexibility. They don't have to be concerned about which machine is the reserved one or anything like that. And the only thing is that it is specific to the type of machine. So if you go and change one of those 7-gig machines to being a 30-gig machine, well, that reservation no longer applies.
Right.
And so that's why they even went an extra distance. I mean, so not only, you know, is that a consideration if you're going to do this, but they've even gone an extra step, and they've created this thing called a secondary market for reservations, if you can believe this, where let's say that I'm in that situation, and now I've got another 6 months to go on this lower price ticket, but I don't have any machines of that type for it to apply to. Well, I can go offer that to other Amazon customers.
So there's some kind of list you can put yourself on and say this is available, or sort of like Craigslist or something?
Absolutely, absolutely. And Amazon's built it right into their interface. So when you go saying, I want to buy a reservation, right in that screen there's an option to say, well, are there any reservations I can buy from other customers?
That's fascinating.
And they'll list it right with their own reservations that they'll sell. So I guess they're basically trying to make it sort of as transparent as possible, rather than making these things transferable is kind of an odd thing. But anyway, it's, you know, we start sort of running down the rabbit hole of all these considerations, right? How much will you really run it? What size of machine do you really need? What's your break-even point? Could you even sell the reservation? So it's in a way it's kind of more complicated than it needs to be. But the price reduction is very significant. You know, when you start looking at 40% off, that's worth trying to figure out.
I think that probably it would be interesting to pick this up at a later date and to discuss other things that we can do to facilitate getting your cloud services online. I hope you're willing to come back at some point for that.
Be happy to.
Okay, Ken, thank you very much.
Great talking with you, Tim.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.